Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to conclude our studies in the first chapter of the book of Romans, that grand treatise on the gospel. And we're going to speak on our theme verse today, the power of the gospel. The theme verse that we've chosen for this series, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This is the 16th verse, and the 17th verse reads this way, for thus it is, for therein is it written, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'll read that verse again. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now we're going to call this the power and the basis of the gospel. The basis of the gospel is the righteousness of God. But now let's consider verse 16 in detail. I'm going to just take it up in a very piecemeal fashion, but I think you'll understand why I'm doing it. We have, first of all, where he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Herein we have the dignity of the gospel. Paul wasn't ashamed of it. He wasn't ashamed to bring it to Rome, the seat of political power in the world. But this is a different kind of power. This is the power that changes the lives of men. Power in Rome, of course, could influence the lives of men, but it couldn't change them. This is the power that changes lives. And so the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and the gospel is dignified. I know there are lots of people that don't like it because it puts us in a bad light. In this book of Romans, we read, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And lots of people like to be patted on the back. They don't like to take the place of sinners. But the book of Romans, if studied assiduously, carefully, will bring us into the presence of God as needing God's salvation. And then when we realize our need, he tells us so sweetly, I loved you. I gave my son to die on the cross for you. As we read in John 3:16, I want you in my heaven, but I've got to take your sins away from you. And I took them away from you and put them on Christ on the cross. And I can now receive you if you will have my son. Oh, the wonderful story of the gospel. Now we read the power of the gospel. We've already really commented on that. We've seen it for this entire series. The power of the gospel to change lives. The purpose of the gospel unto salvation, we've mentioned it. And then the scope of the gospel to everyone that believeth. To everyone. God does not choose people. He's not partial in his judgments. God doesn't have his pets. The gospel is to all, for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we read in this wonderful verse here, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now that believeth, those words are significant. This is the validation of the gospel. We've got to validate it with our faith. We give it credence. We put God in his place. We tell him, you're truthful. And if we don't believe God, we make him a liar. But we tell God, I believe your word. I believe you love me. I believe my sin problem is taken care of, was taken care of at the cross. And that I can be saved through simple, trusting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We validate the gospel to everyone that believeth. And then there's the order of the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Jew had first place. We've already talked about that on the broadcast. He was given that place. And in the Old Testament, for a person to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, or saving knowledge of faith, rather, the personal exercise of faith. The Lord Jesus did not appear on the scene in the Old Testament except by types and by shadows, and that it did. But here we have now, we and I are validating that same gospel that was preached to them, that if they believed God and just gave him credence in their lives, that he would bless them. We are blessed immeasurably. But it's to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. But after the Lord was on the cross, the Gentiles got their chance. Now we have the basis of the gospel in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is written in the Old Testament, Hosea. But the Apostle Paul echoes that in chapter Romans, chapter 5 of the book of Romans, verse 1. We read there, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by our faith, not by the strength of our faith, not by the earnestness of our faith, but what our faith is placed in. Our faith is placed in Christ. We are justified by faith, as the Old Testament prophet said, the just shall live by faith. How wonderful that we can exercise our faith. Can we do anything else, really, but believe God? Oh, that we might think about it, realize our need, as the book of Romans would emphasize that we do need it. But notice, please, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You know, we would think this would be better written, for therein is the love of God revealed. Is it revealed in salvation? It certainly is. Is it revealed in our accepting it? It certainly is. And the love of God, the holiness of God is revealed in the cross, in the salvation of the soul. But notice, please, the words, and they're advisedly written by the Spirit of God, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. God does not set aside his righteousness to save the soul. We would think this verse would be better written, for therein is the mercy of God revealed, the love of God revealed, the kindness of God revealed, and it's all displayed at the cross. But the righteousness of God is revealed. That's what Paul's talking about. The righteousness of God. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. What does this mean? The full implication of these words is terrible. Terrible in that God was righteous and he punished Christ for my sins on the cross, and he did not lighten the stroke of judgment because it was his son. He was punishing sin. Christ didn't die as the son. He died as the sin bearer. And God had to turn his face from the Lord Jesus Christ and leave him in that awful darkness on the cross. There was darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, and Christ was alone, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I think of the righteousness of God wringing that from his heart. God punished his sin, his son, for our sin. It was made no difference that it was Christ on the cross. Remember this, the debt of our sins was paid, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Oh, the full implication is terrible. He suffered. He suffered as no man could suffer. He felt the loneliness of that cross, the rejection of his own people. He felt those things. He was a man. He had a kindred spirit to ours. He was just like us. And oh, he felt it. It was an awful experience. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when our Lord Jesus Christ was anticipating the cross, just before he would be apprehended and tried and falsely accused, blasphemy, and put to death. He sweat, as it were, in the Garden of Gethsemane, great drops of blood falling down to the ground in anticipation of the cross. It's in medical history that some people have sweat blood. He sweat it. Great drops of blood falling down to the ground in anticipation. Oh, I'm so glad that the cross is past. Christ don't have to sweat any more blood. He doesn't have to shed any more blood. The price of salvation is paid. All ready for your acceptance and my acceptance. And it was the righteousness of God that accomplished that salvation. How wonderful a story is the gospel. And we have the privilege of preaching that gospel over the air, by means of tract distribution, by means of personal witness, by means of services in churches on Lord's Day morning. We have the privilege of preaching that gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. He gives us the basis of our faith. The basis of our salvation is the righteousness of God. Based upon the righteousness of God, our faith rests. God put our sins upon Christ, as we read in Isaiah 53 and 6. Oh, Isaiah anticipated this 7 centuries before Christ came. And he says in that wonderful portion of Scripture, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He saw the cross. Job saw the cross. I know my Redeemer liveth. He's his Redeemer because he paid the price of his release from the thraldom of sin. I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand on the earth in that latter day. They could see it down through the Scriptures. They could see the cross, but we look back on it. With the assurance of faith, it's a matter of historical fact. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And this faith is revealed to us, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Why must be limited to faith? I'll tell you why. Because that's all there's left to do. God has done all. He has worked out our salvation. And that's all that there left remains to be done, is just putting our stamp of approval on it, validating it, as we were saying a few moments ago, validating it with our faith. Will we believe God? I know it is difficult to believe that God would love me, but he did, and it's a matter of historical fact. It's a matter of his word. Would he lie? I leave it with you. Shall we place our faith in God and be eternally saved through the work of Christ? Our Father, today, give power to these words by the Spirit of God, we pray, in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.